Salutations, Mets fans, and welcome to this week's edition of Amazing Avenue Audio, the official podcast of your SB Nation New York Mets site, Amazing Avenue. I'm your host, Jeffrey Paternostro. With me this week, once again, is Greg Karam. Greg, there was some grousing on Mets Twitter that Matt Harvey went to an Eminem concert this past weekend. So which Mets player, past or present, would you like to go to a concert with, and who would you see?
Well, I remember driving around northern New Jersey during the Piazza years.
I swear to fucking God if you answer Bruce Springsteen.
You know, it doesn't really matter so much who I see as much as who I'm seeing it with. And, you know, I want to see it with Piazza because he's a guy who has a similar taste in music as me, which is classic rock and rock and roll in general. So
he's like more of a metalhead, though, isn't he?
Well, I mean, he's
like Metallica and like you're probably like 80s old school metal, Guns N' Roses.
Sure. If he wants to see a Guns N' Roses concert with me, I will not say no.
It's something you can do now, I guess, occasionally.
Yeah. Well, if you want to see that version of it and what's going on there. But yeah, I mean, Piazza, I mean, he used to DJ on Q104. And I really liked that because he was my favorite player at the time, and I really liked listening to Q104. So I'll go see anything with Piazza. I guess Pearl Jam would count as classic rock these days, so I'm sure he wouldn't be opposed to that.
I say past or present, and I see you picked a past player as well, because I think all current players are younger than me, but as best I can tell, they all have terrible taste in music.
Well, judging by their walk-up music, right?
Yeah, I mean, I like hip-hop. I can't claim to have a particularly nuanced opinion on it. I like country, but the particular hip-hop and country songs that seem to get chosen, not really up my alley. So I think we all know I'm going to pick Josh Satin here.
Oh, okay.
And I was thinking, well, I'm thinking he's a SoCal guy. I don't know a lot about his musical taste. I think he has something vaguely hip-hop as his walk-up music right now. But
so
I wonder...
So few at-bats to...
Yeah. I wonder, he's a few years younger than me, but I could see him maybe being like a SoCal punk guy, maybe some Bad Religion. Could do Bad Religion. He also went to Berkeley. So I could see maybe like sort of some... If he's into hip-hop, maybe some, like some backpacking stuff, like Bus Driver. I'd go see a Bus Driver show. Played Northampton a few years ago. I didn't end up going to it, but hanging out with Josh Satin.
Yeah, hey.
Also, hey. As a past Met, I'd take R.A. Dickey to a Leonard Cohen concert.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's kind of right up his alley, sort of one of the more literary songwriters out there. I'd also be hanging out with R.A. Dickey.
Yeah, which I'm sure is a blast.
This is episode 89 of Amazing Avenue Audio. I do want to say one more thing about the Matt Harvey thing. Out of the way, when he was first, one of the early interviews he did right after he first came out, he talked about how he really liked old school hip hop, mm-hmm. and named like Notorious B.I.G. Okay. It just made me feel like, okay, I'm really much older than the average major league player now.
Yeah,
that was like what I listened to in high school. I don't consider that old school.
But I kind of missed this controversy. I saw he posted some pictures to Instagram that he was at a concert.
Yes.
What was the controversy?
It's, you know, he should be. Whatever, doing his off-season routine, at this point, for most players, every player at this point in the off-season basically isn't doing anything.
Okay, so they basically want these guys to be like grizzly bears and just hibernate through the winter. And
Or like baseball robots. They should be doing like three cone drills or something or whatever.
Got it. Okay.
Or long toss.
I'm really glad I missed out on this.
So this is episode 89 of Mason Avenue Audio. And as we alluded to last week, this was in fact the year that Dave Magadan took over for Keith Hernandez when he got hurt. I don't think we could remember. I don't remember if we discussed this on air. We may have discussed it off air. But anyway, this is the Will the Mets Bench Dave Magadan When Keith Hernandez Returns edition. I talked a little bit last week about the 88 season and the 88 playoffs specifically. And I don't really have any like distinct memories of the games. Like, I remember, like, I know what happened, but I don't have any distinct memories of watching the games. But in 89, I was seven, so I'm starting to get more sort of, you know, like, crystallized memories of the games. And I remember that one of the common themes throughout the summer, which I assume was probably at this point Fran Healy and Ralph Kiner, probably on the old sports channel, discussing, you know, would the Mets, benched Dave Magadan when Keith Hernandez got back from his injury. Because I seem to remember, I thought this was his big year, but it was actually 1990. He got some down ballot MVP support, hit 328, 417, 457. And his 89 season was okay, but it wasn't anything special. But when he first took over for Keith in May, he hit 328, 350, 431 in May, and 319, 407, 489 in June, I think, sort of stoking that fire. He's a nice little player.
He is.
I don't think we've gotten to him on the Mets top 50 list, which tells you how good a Met he was. Also, how slow that list is coming out.
True, but he should be the new go-to guy for light hitting first baseman comps, you
Like Dom
know?
Smith?
Yeah, there you go.
I saw him. We had an email a few weeks back about John Olerud being a comp there for the optimistic, like, no power comp. But Magan had some pretty good years in there, as we said. Good glove at first base, good plate discipline. I mean, no one really looks like Dave Magan anymore because of rising K rates. I mean, the dude was, a slightly above average hitter, but had 170 more walks than strikeouts. Those guys just don't exist in this
Yeah,
era.
you never see that kind of profile anymore. It just doesn't happen.
But I think it's
Whatever.
probably like a more realistic no power outcome for Dom Smith than John Olerud.
Oh yeah. Well, definitely, definitely.
We are getting ahead of ourselves. Greg Smith is not the prospect topic this week. We do have a prospect topic. And there's no new Mets news, really, unless you count the Matt Harvey going to the Eminem concert or the Mets moving the fences in again. And we don't count either of those. Those are not something we count as news. So we will continue our road to the Amazing Avenue 2015 prospect list with a discussion of Marcos Molina. And then we'll answer your emails. I made notes on your emails on Sunday, and then your emails kept coming in. We have seven emails. I gave up at a certain point at work today. But we will get to all of them here in episode 89. We'll start things off with a discussion of Marcos Molina. And I picked him in part because I like talking about Marcos Molina, which comes as to a surprise to no one, I'm sure. And I think he stands in contrast in every conceivable way to Rafael Montero, who we discussed last week.
Probably true.
But I think they're kind of in the same general area of the 2015 prospect list, at least to me. Obviously, Montero is a major league ready guy, small frame, not really a starter's build. Command control guy, repeatable mechanics. Molina is 19, incredibly raw, electric stuff, athletic body, one of the worst liveries I've seen in person. I will say coming into the year, I'm still, it's what, October 13th? I'm
Yes.
still annoyed I didn't at least get him onto my 2014 Mets prospect list.
Well,
Like, even after I submitted it, and I made it in like January, and we did it actually probably a little before that, in like February, March, when we did the Mason Avenue project, I was, I'm like, I'll just submit what I had. I don't feel
right.
like changing anything. And it's just kind of like, I mean, can you
How are you
really?
going to get him on your list, though? How would you have known? Like, I mean, to be
Well, I
honest,
mean,
you don't
I
see him.
considered him, but I'm going off, GCL stats and a stray good report from Instructs, basically.
Right. So I really
I mean,
don't think.
it's conceivably a guy I'm gonna miss on this year. Whether it's Milton Ramos or Emmanuel Zabala, or there's a million arms there.
Well, yeah, for
Chris
the back
Matt
end of
and
the 25, you can just like throw in a guy and then be like, oh, hey, look, I got him on my 25, whereas, maybe instead of putting a guy like I did, like Andrew Church on there because he was a second round pick and because I don't know why. Maybe put a Marcos Molina on there and then be like, hey.
I think I had Jared King. That didn't work out great.